Please stand if you're able for the reading of the Gospel. Today's Gospel is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may too go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids want to come up for a quick children's sermon? We can certainly do that. You got Kenzie and Liam here? All right. Super Mario, not just regular Mario, huh? Okay. What we got there? Huh? What does it look like? A potato. Yeah, it's a potato. But what's with these things sticking out of it? What are those? They're called eyes. It has eyes, but it cannot see the potato. Alrighty, what are those going to do? Any idea? This came out of my garden, or our garden, I should say, when we planted it last spring. What we're going to do this spring is we'll cut this up, and then these are going to sprout, and they're going to grow, and they'll become a plant. So does this look like a plant? No, it doesn't, but it's going to become one. And it reminds me of 1 Corinthians 15, where it talks about the resurrection body. The body we have now is just sort of like a seed. It's going to grow into something bigger on the other side when we're with God in eternity. And it's going to develop in our new resurrection body, which we don't know what it looks like. Because a stalk of corn doesn't look like a corn kernel. It comes from that kernel. And the life in here, this has life in it. It's alive. Plant life. Okay? And that same life is going to be in that potato plant when we plant this thing. So the same life carries on to the other side, and that's true with us too. After we die and get to be with Jesus, we'll have the same life, but we'll have it in a different form and a different body. All right. So anyway, the other thing I had was some straws here, and just for fun, you always got to put a little science in here. Can you take this straw and stick it through the potato? Wow. Didn't think that would happen. This is sort of Okay, I grabbed a soft potato, and yeah, he did stick it right in there, and amazingly, it went right through. Okay, it sort of ruined it. Good job. All right. What I was going to do is, after you struggled to do it, I was going to take a straw, and then I was going to, you got to put your thumb over the end like that, and then just stick it right through. You can do that with a hard potato. But the key is having your thumb over the end, because as it goes through, the air inside, it pressurizes it, which makes it stronger, and then the further it goes in, the stronger it gets. But, yeah, good job. All right. I like it. Okay. Y'all can go learn something at Children's Church. Thanks for showing up there. I have to get a new potato before I go to St. John's. Okay. Lordy, thank you. I don't know. Things don't always go as we expect. But you can bring good out of anything, Lord. And yeah, thanks for that reminder. And speak to us through your word this morning and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the three kings, huh? You've been brainwashed. Well, of course, we've been brainwashed by the government, we've been brainwashed by the media, you know, all kinds of the things they're trying to brainwash us, but also through cultural tradition. You ask any Sunday school kid, how many wise men were they? Were there? They're going to say, three. Do we know?
No.
It simply says, Magi from the East, right? We don't know how many. Might have been three, might have been four or five. Maybe it was a group of 20, a whole platoon. I don't know. A bunch of them. Okay. Furthermore, cultural tradition has even assigned them names, right? We got Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. Nah, we don't know their names. That they came from three different continents representing three races. No, we don't know. Okay, a lot of this stuff has been added in, and even the song we were singing this morning, We Three Kings, right? It's the cultural tradition. But here at Shalom, we don't go with cultural tradition. We go with Scripture, right? This is the truth. This is what we follow. And nothing wrong with that singing that song. It reminds us of the gifts that they brought, which were prophetic, of course. Gold that was fit for a king. Frankincense, something associated with a deity or a god. And then myrrh, a spice for burial. I mean, they were prophetic for sure. And those were the actual gifts because we see it in Scripture here. But yeah, we have to sort of sometimes remove ourselves because we get caught up in this worldview and we have to sort of back up, shift lanes, get in the right road again there. We honestly don't know how many. We don't know where they came from. Probably Persia, but we're not sure. How far they traveled, we don't know. We do know that they were led by God. He was leading them with this light in the sky, which might have been a supernova, might have been alignment of planets, or else God just decided to put a light up there. We're not going to put any limits on what he can do. When the people were led through the desert for the 40 years, right, they had a light, the pillar of fire by night, right, and then the cloud by day. God just produced it and used them to guide people. And he seeks to guide us as well, of course. We may not always have that physical light. And oh, that would be nice, right? Lord, show me what I'm supposed to do. Make it obvious to me so even this thick skull can understand it, right? Okay. But he guides us, not only physically, but spiritually, through the Spirit. And the same is true of these magi. They're guided by the Holy Spirit as well. We see it in a number of places here as we read through it. We don't know when they came. Nativity scenes we've seen since childhood always puts them at the manger, right? We don't know. It was somewhere between 0 and 2 years. Herod, of course, sought to squelch any competition, so he had ordered that any boys that we learned later on in the Bethlehem region that were between the ages of 0 and 2 would be murdered, which is obviously wrong to murder kids, innocent kids. So when he said 0 to 2, that makes me think that he's probably about 1 year old because he's going to err on the side of safety. He's going to go +1 and -1. He's going to get them all, right? Going to make sure that he removes this competition. Because that's what the Magi came for. They said, told him that they had come to worship a new king that had been born. Herod, of course, wanted to defend his throne. He did not want any other kings trying to take power from him. Kings were paranoid back then. Even their own sons could try to, you know, usurp the throne. So they were very paranoid. Had someone taste the food, right? And they would have a security detail, people that they trusted. And if they saw any reason they didn't trust them, well, then they would remove that person and get another one. So when he heard these wise men come from the east, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews, another king? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Yes, absolutely. And it says all Jerusalem with him. I'm not sure why everybody else was disturbed. I think a lot of people would be excited if their king had come, if their Messiah had come. They've been waiting for centuries for this, or for thousands of years. The prophecies go way back for the Messiah to come. So Herod wants to get a little background. He wants to get some intel on this. And he gathers together, you know, the chief priests and the scribes and all these people that are learned in the scriptures, because he really wasn't. He was sort of a partial Jew, but he certainly was not a follower of Yahweh. He had built the temple or remodeled the temple to gain favor with the Jews, but he himself really wasn't a believer. So he consulted with them. They said, well, the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem in Judea. This had been prophesied in Micah. So 700 years before, God had prophesied that he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Indeed he was. And now Herod's got a clue. Okay, Bethlehem. Alrighty. So these wise men were coming to the region. They weren't really sure where they're going, perhaps. And he said, tell you what, you go to Bethlehem because that's where he was born. So I'm going to give you some inside information. Go to Bethlehem. And they did. The Magi followed on the way to Bethlehem. Herod said, go and search carefully for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me that I too may go and worship him. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. He had other plans, of course. And we as humans have other plans, but God has his plans too. And God provided the protection and turned events so that, you know, they would be successful in deluding Herod so that he would not find out. But. Okay, so after they heard of the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. So there's lots of stars in the sky, but are they directly overhead overhead of something? I mean, yeah, I could follow some star and take me in a direction, but I'd have to keep on going, and then pretty soon I'd go around the circumference of the earth, and I'd lose sight of it. Actually, then it would be behind me. Okay, but this is a light that God provides, and it leads them. The light led them to Jesus. It went and stopped over the place where the child was, okay? And coming to the house, they're in a house now. This is no longer in the stable, no longer in the manger. They got a house that they're living in, or perhaps living with others or friends or renting from them, we don't know. They saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Yeah. They didn't just pay respects. They worshipped him. Worshipping God, but in the form of a baby. It's sort of weird. They're worshipping like a human form, but they're not. They're worshipping Jesus in the flesh. God with us. Maybe they took turns holding him. Maybe they, you know, I'm sure they're talking to him as a baby or something like that, but in awe of him and worshiping him, and opened up their gifts that they had brought, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, and then returning by another route so Herod would not find him. All right, this is a great story. It fulfills a lot of prophecy and things like that. But really, we've heard it so many times before, but what really struck me this time is the seeking God. They were seeking God. And that's something we are all doing, is seeking God. I know I'm seeking God. I want more of him. I want more of him. I know him, and I can't get enough. I want more of him. I'm seeking him all the time. And we all should be. Seeking God has always been a good idea, and it still is. And seeking God is important throughout the Bible, right? Seek him while he may be found. Seek him with your whole heart and with your soul. Seek him with all that you are. And indeed, we are to do that. So as I was looking at verses on seeking, I was led to the Chronicles way back when. And their readings that we heard from this morning, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, they had to do with the building of the temple, but also seeking God. So in the first reading, David calls together a bunch of the important people. He summoned all the officials of Israel to assemble at Jerusalem, the officers over the tribes, the commanders of the divisions in the service of the king, the commanders of thousands, commanders of hundreds, and officials in charge of the property. All these important people, he gets them assembled. And what he tells them, they can then be disseminated throughout all the people as well. But he brought them together to tell them about the building of the temple that was going to happen. David wanted to build a temple to honor God, but God would not let him. It tells him, God said to me, you are not to build a house for my name, because you are a warrior and have shed blood. So as much as David wanted to honor God by building an amazing temple for him, he was not allowed to. It fell to his son to do it. So David here is talking to his son in front of everybody else, and talking to this first part to all of us, I guess. So now I charge you in the sight of Israel and the assembly of the Lord and in the hearing of our God, be careful to follow all the commands of the Lord your God. Absolutely, even today, right? We seek to honor God. We seek to follow his commands, to do what he says. Of course we do. And we do it voluntarily and joyfully. We're not forced to observe his commands. We do it out of love for him. because his ways are good and they are true and they are perfect. So follow all the commands that you may possess this good land and pass it on as an inheritance to your descendants forever. The Israelites had been given this land and they wanted to pass it on, of course. He's giving advice as a father to his son, to Solomon here, but also to all of us. He continues, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion." Yeah, very important. God first, right? God first. Acknowledge him in all your ways. It says in Proverbs, right? He'll make your path straight. Serve him with all that you are, with your wholehearted devotion, with all that you are. And David was really connected with God. You read through the Psalms, it's just so apparent. You can see it there. So serve him with a wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, wanting to. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. When God had selected David to be anointed as king, Samuel looked at his brothers as they prayed past and said, "Nope, nope, nope." But he said, God looks at the heart, right? It wasn't the outward appearance. They chose the little one here. Because God looks at the heart. And David had a heart for God. Very apparent. And wanted to follow him and wanted to honor him. So he's telling that to Solomon now. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. There's the seeking part. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. And seeking God is extremely wise advice. We're not sure what to do. Seek God. Ask him. Try to figure out what is his will in this situation. What would he have us do? And then do that. Don't just go off following your own thoughts, your human wants, desires, or your logic, what makes sense to you. God first, right? Seek him. Seek him in decisions. Seek him for guidance. Seek him for strength. Seek him for wisdom, understanding, comfort, and peace. All these things that he holds out to us. All these things he wants to gift us with, that he give to us. We just have to seek him wholeheartedly with all that we are. So how do you seek him then? Well, we can seek him in his word because we learn so much about him and his character in his word. That's one way. We can seek him in prayer. We can find those times to just be still and know, to experience his presence. Seek him. Seek him while he may be found, it tells us. Seek him. And he wants us to seek him. He wants a connection with each one of us. The God of the universe that created all, that knows everybody and has known everybody throughout history and those to come, wants that personal relationship with us. Wow. So seeking him, the importance of it can't be overstated here. So David told his son to seek him before he built the temple. And then after the temple is completed, you know, we got all these pages in between in the building of the temple, building the temple. Okay, we get to 2 Chronicles. Now the temple has been completed. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord, and the royal palace, and had succeeded in carrying out all he had mind to do in the temple of the Lord, his own palace, the Lord appeared to him and said, that's cool, God appears to him. The Lord appeared to each one of us, huh? And God said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. It was acceptable to God. And then God once again tells us to seek him. When I shut up the heavens so there is no rain, in the dry times, right? Or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people. In the tough times, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and respond, okay? Yeah, and that's a message for us as well. If my people who are called by my name, are we called by his name? Yes. And hopefully we're living it out. We'll do the following. We'll humble themselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from their wicked ways. This involves something on our part, to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek him, once again, the importance of seeking him, and turn from our wicked ways. You know, as individuals, perhaps as a country, I would say, as a church, as the body of Christ, we are to humble ourselves, pray, seek him, and turn from our wicked ways. If we do this, it's an if then. If we do these, it says then. So it's dependent on us doing our part. And if we do that, then he says, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Three things there. He will hear, he will forgive, and he will heal. Lord, help us to humble ourselves and turn to you to seek you, that we may hear from you, that we would be forgiven and be healed. Are we doing this? Clearly we ought to. Are we seeking him? And are we just seeking him when we want to, or in all things? Are we seeking him when it's convenient to us, or when we want something? Hey, God, you know, I'd really like this. I'm seeking you. No, it's to be at all times and in all ways, to seek him. And he wants to be found. And it's sort of a weird thing because we're seeking him, but he's also seeking us. He came to seek and to save the lost, he tells us. And that's us. So we're seeking him, he's seeking us, and hopefully we can meet there somewhere in the middle. And if you've been found by him, yes, you're given that relationship with him. You're given that faith, and you're given that eternal life, and there's nothing better. So David sought him. Solomon sought him. The wise men sought him. And clearly they're wise if they're seeking God, but may we also seek him. Because, Lord, we want more of you. Amen.